Yes. Welcome to the Science of Getting Rich podcast. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Find out more from me about me at mailpostcardsfromhome.com or geraldpeters.info. This podcast is, I always say, it's dedicated to the of walking or taking a journey through the book of The Science of Getting Rich, written by a man named Wallace Wattles in the year 1910. Today I wanted to, I'd had a similar conversation with a gentleman who was in much the situation that I found myself in as a young man. I don't have a college degree. I didn't have any technical skills. The only thing I had going for me, I had graduated high school and I went to the Army. Okay. I mean, a lot of people have done that. So that's, it's better than not, but it's not opening a lot of doors for you. So basically, I was qualified to work at a prison or maybe be a shift manager at McDonald's, which both of those are completely fine, but that's where my skill set were. What I did, and I think this is a similar path, a lot of people who acquire wealth will maybe have a similar story. The individual particulars could be different, but here was the big swing for me. After, long story short, I'd met someone who pushed me in this idea of real estate. I'd had a lawn care business going. I'd had an internet business going on the side. And we were living exclusively on my wife's income, with the idea being that we would save mine and invest it. That was our game plan that we were going to do for the next 5 years. I had saved up. Now, this is the year. What year is this? Like 2001? 16, 17 years ago, I had saved up, maybe 2002, I had saved up $15,000. It was like $14,700 and something. That was all the money to my name, and I felt like it was a lot of money. You gotta understand, I grew up really poor in a trailer park. And I had, almost $15,000 in a checking account. Now, the purpose of this money is I was gonna build it up to do my first deal, real estate deal. And I found it was two very small houses. One was, 700 square feet maybe, and the other, the quote, big house was 800 square feet. These are two-bedroom houses, side by side, owned by a mother and son. Now, these houses were pretty run down. The value of both of them was $75,000, which basically means I was paying just under $40,000 a house. So long story short, I'm all in. Meaning the entire $15,000 is gone. That's my down payment. I take a note from the bank for $60,000. My $15,000 is now in the form of $15,000 in equity in two shitty houses. And I'm back to broke. I was scared. And I knew I had to move the renters out. They weren't the best of renters that were in there currently. I inherited these renters. And so as soon as their lease was up, I'd asked them the one to leave. And I began to spend my days, nights, and weekends painting, looking on YouTube of how to do tile. And I just, trial and error. I spent a few grand, maybe not that much. I painted the outside. I cleaned up the house. I used, very inexpensive flooring, very expensive paint. I just made it nice and clean. And I did this for both houses. And I basically, again, I'm all in. As I'd make money at work, mowing yards, this and that, we'd be all in. So we're broke. I mean, we're just getting by. We're all in on these two houses. The bank comes out and reassesses them. And after I've cleaned them both up, they reassess for $125,000. And sure, the thought crossed my mind, holy moly, I could sell these for 125 grand. I only owe the bank 60. In other words, I would make a nice profit of, subtract my 15, I'd made $40,000. I didn't make that in a year working. But I knew that wasn't the long-term play. And so now I had an asset that I had paid 15 grand for, put probably less than 10,000 in. So let's say I'm 25 grand all in, that are now valued at $125,000 that are being rented for $1,200 a month total. It's like $1,250 is actually what it was. And that was where I was. So I have no money. So on one side of the ledger, I owe the bank $60,000. On the other side of the ledger, I have an asset worth $125,000. So any way you look at it, that's a $65,000 swing. So my $15,000, well, let's say $25,000 with fix-up costs, my $25,000 is now worth $65,000. So in 1 year, I turned $15,000 into a $40,000 profit. Having an asset that now is worth $120,000, it was paying me $1,200 a month. Now, I was on the hook to pay the bank for the mortgage, so I had a $60,000 mortgage, I have insurance, I have taxes. My cost to run these two units was probably, say, about $750 a month. I'm collecting $1,250. And so I was looking at about $700, because my profit on the two houses combined together, because I run them together, was $470 a month. Well, you times that times 12, you know, we're pretty close to $6,000. So my initial $15,000, and with a little bit more following up, so let's say $25,000, was now producing a net profit of approximately $6,000 a year, which means in 4 years I'd have all my money back. All my money back, meaning every dollar that I put into these are back to me, with someone else paying my note, which producing a $1,250 a month income, and took me from being basically having $15,000 in the bank to now 4 years later, I have my money back. The properties have appreciated to about $130,000. They're producing about $1,300 a month in income, and I only owe, you know, 50-something thousand on the loan. And that is one way that anyone with just basic skills, the skill to save money, skill to work a paintbrush. I mean, these are just basic skills. Just pay your bills on time. Get an insurance quote. Put an ad in the paper to get a renter. Like, this is not a hard skills. But it only comes to the person who believes, like we've been talking about the last two or three podcasts, that you, first off, that you have a right to get rich. I had that belief that it was okay, that even though I didn't have a college degree, even though I didn't have a future that I could see at the time, I believed that I had a right to wealth. And so as I began to exercise on that right by saving money, see, as I began to set that money aside, that's me acting on my belief, on my faith that I have a right to get rich, believing that a deal or something will come along that I could put that money in to make this happen. I didn't know what that would look like. I didn't know it'd be two properties. I didn't know it'd fall like this. So boom. So now, you know, I'm at this point, 4 years into that deal, I'm closing in on $100,000 net worth. Well, that's 10% to a million, right? I'm a tenth of the way of being a millionaire 4 years into my first deal. But of course, I didn't stop with that first deal. I immediately began, as soon as these were done, saving more money. I even remember my second deal hitting my dad up for a couple thousand dollars because I was short and I found another deal. And it was a foreclosure, same thing. Three bedroom brick house, you know, same exact formula. This house was beat up, it was really ugly. I went all in on the house. Every month as I collect money from the money coming in from these two houses, I'm pouring into this house, I'm mowing yards to pour money into this house, and then I get that house up and going. And so now I have three properties. And so in a matter of about 3 or 4 years, I go from a guy who had saved up 15 grand, right, to owning three properties that were now valued at about $250,000 between the three of them, give or take, and that I owed the bank about less than $100,000 on all three properties. And so now I had a positive equity net worth of excess of $100,000. It's probably like $125,000, maybe a little more, right? These houses were generating $2,000 a month in income with a net profit of, I think my profit on that was about that time is about $700-$800 a month. And so it begins to just creep up as I began to acquire more assets and I began to just repeat the process. While this is stuff I'm doing on the side. Sometimes people think, well, if I'm doing that, that's all I can do. And that's not the case because that pattern isn't that complicated. You know, I can just look for these properties as I go about my day living. It doesn't require all of my focus, all of my thought process. And so it just became part of my wealth building experience, just like saving money was part of my wealth building experience. So that was how I got started in trying to build wealth. I first started with simple businesses that people would pay me cash, mowing yards. And so I was able to turn mowing yards into a multi-million dollar real estate portfolio. You know, I mean, not just because of mowing yards, but it assisted in the process. In other words, doing simple menial jobs allowed me to do and to build and acquire wealth. It wasn't a high-paying job. It wasn't something I learned in college. It was actually a book I had read. I'm sure there's people just like me in your life. That's how they opened their dry cleaners. That's how they started their restaurant. They have a similar story. That they started first babysitting. They took that money and, you know, bought a domain name. These stories are all around you. You need to create one of these stories at any age. I mean, at any age, whether you're young, you see guys like the creators of Snapchat to Facebook. These are super young people. And then there you see people like Colonel Sanders, who was drawing Social Security when he started Kentucky Fried Chicken. You know, who's the cookie guy? Forget the cookie guy. Same thing. He's a much older gentleman who built a business. So don't let age or race or even financial situation determine if or not you can acquire wealth and get rich. It first starts with the fact that you have to believe that you can. Dig into these first two chapters that we've been talking about. The first chapter is that you have a right, and the second chapter is talking about doing things in a certain way. And the title just slipped right out of my mind. I think, the second chapter is titled The Science of Getting Rich, where he breaks down the basic concept. And then the next podcast, hopefully we'll get into chapter 3. I just wanted to share a personal story, and I'll try to do these as we go forward. Each podcast, I'll share something from my personal experience of how I've applied these things to business and life.